previously on HP Oddcast with Seymour Swan.
You're always the dreamer, right? You always your wife guides you. She's the realist.
Yeah.
I told her this. She's so realist. She'll probably go up to Benjamin Franklin and tell him, "Listen, why are you flying that kite in this storm? Put that shit back in the house."
Yeah. She's straight to the point. She doesn't pull no punches.
But see, if it wasn't for that, the dreamers would not have anything to gauge against, because we're thinking, no, I'm going to fly this kite and see if I get shocked to death, and that's how you come up with electricity.
You know, no, she's the right, tandem for me, because she's the type that, will kick in your ass and say, go do what you love and, enjoy and do, because she's in my act and stuff like that when I talk about us, because, she's Puerto Rican and I'm black, so there's just material. So, she loves it. She's like, "I don't care if my friends are there. Do what you got to do. Say what you got to say. I know nothing you're saying is malicious, so to speak. We're just, sharing my life with her and stuff like that. I even talk about my son and my act. Him being half black, half Puerto Rican. There's a joke.
At least you want to jump on this, right?
There's a joke.
We have black Puerto Ricans, too. Maybe you want to turn around and talk to them in Spanish.
Three black Jews in the audience? Oh, please, no.
So
balance, what you just described.
Balance is important to me because,
And now, the final part of my interview with Seymour Swan.
Where did you go to school?
We're not questioning it.
I'm going to question it. Do you remember what school you went to?
I went to Brandeis. Brandeis High School.
And where is that?
I went to the one on 66th Street in Amsterdam.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's the annex. Yeah, in the main building I went for 1 year. And then my lower years, I went right up the block from my house, I-70.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you really, right around your neighborhood,
And before junior high, I went to PS11, which is on 20th Street, 3 blocks away from my house.
So he does have a good memory.
Yeah. Then I got into PS11, and I went down to, see, now I'm flexing my memory. It pissed me off.
Who was your fifth grade teacher, Seymour?
Now! Actually, I was about to mention it. Mr. Nan, I was in a PS 82. It was an all boys school.
Okay. We got it. Put away the rubber glove. Don't worry.
I always point out people who can remember their teachers' names. I can't remember them from
I can't remember a lot of them, but I can remember, Mr. Nan, because I was in an all boys school. They were all bad kids. I remember Mr. Nan when I was in I-70, one of the most known teachers, Ms. Pearson, she was a piano teacher. Mr. Bauman, all these teachers are from I-70.
So you probably had a good education in Manhattan, right?
I felt like it was good. I ended up more self-taught than anything because I didn't finish high school. I got, my GED. But I got it in the first shot, and I actually scored like a 285. I got 285 in one shot.
The Bronx and Yonkers, like the public school system back when I was in there, it was a disaster. Like they just didn't give a shit.
I went to good school too. Like the school's alright, but like I said, I got in trouble myself. Quite a bit of trouble when I was younger, and ended up in the bad schools.
Now at this point you finished your schooling and now you decided you're gonna do stand up for full time, and that's when you were dating your wife. And at that point, you took her out, and you went to go see Eddie Murphy. And after the show, that's when you told her, because I asked, when did you see that he was going to take comedy serious? Because at the time, like you said, it was just a thing to do. She didn't know about it. That's when you first started.
Yeah.
And she said you took her to see Eddie Murphy, and then after the show, you told her, I would have said this, or I would have said that, and that's when she came about saying, oh, wow, maybe he is serious.
I think it was Delirious. Even though Delirious was so brilliant.
So 1984.
But that was the big inspiration to me. Because I actually, somebody had asked me about the same way, like I said, did I always want to be a comedian? No. But I do remember one dream I had. One dream would have to do with comedy, and it was a dream of me with that leather shit on, like Eddie hat on. I had never dreamed about comedy. This is before I even did comedy. I just remember having one dream. I don't remember how old I was, but I had one dream about comedy. But even guys like that, I've met Eddie, and he was a great supportive guy.
Heard he's a really good guy.
Yeah, he's very supportive. He's a very, very nice guy.
Back then, now you think he's...
No,
I haven't been around him, talked around him in years, so I don't know.
So back then, he was very nice, very supportive.
Very nice, very supportive.
We're on the same boat.
Humble. Yeah, he wasn't like... And he was big then, you know, that was when he was like, pow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, you know, just... Anybody that was doing something positive, he was just right there.
I heard that about him.
He was just
there. Like that still.
Yeah, yeah. He was just there, you know?
Yeah, because after that, you said you That's when she knew that you wanted to take this seriously, you wanted to answer it, because she says, oh, you are funny. Because you started saying, I would have said this, and I would have said that.
Yeah. You start critiquing people, you're like, oh, I'm into this. You know?
And that's
the and then, like I said, then I went to the wrong spot up here, and like I said, the Eagle Tavern after that, and then just, you know. But once I got in, I didn't back off. I actually really fell in love with it right after that. And my friends, you know, that I grew up with, they were ecstatic that I had did it, and they were like, how'd it go? And I was like, blah, blah, blah. As a matter of fact, my first show, because Eagle Tavern was on 14th Street, and I grew up on 17th Street, so the whole freaking neighborhood
was there.
Came to the night show.
Nice.
And it was the first time I got heckled, and I actually got heckled by Marlon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the first time I ever got heckled. But to me, when he did it, it was like me being in the projects.
Yeah.
So it was very easy to just say something about it. He said something about my sister, and I think I said something about my mother.
So he just,
but it was just like, you know, pow, pow, you know, and everybody cracked up. And it just, I think that part of it got me to love it even more, because I felt like I was, you know, in the hallway of the projects real quick. I didn't look at it as, you know, all these people here to see me and this, and that.
So you had a gentle learning experience on heckling, because it was...
Yeah, quickly. Yeah. And it was one of my friends, and we just went back and forth for 2 seconds, but it felt good. It felt powerful. You
is
know?
That your default mindset, is that people, like, you know, you call them hallway or porch comedians, is that your default thing you go back to, like, that's just always me? Headlining in any way, any club,
because that's the only part I can look to where I was trying to be funny. You know, like I said, in school I wasn't a class clown, but in the hallway, in the projects, in the winter, we all would just go at it. You know, me, my friends, Bob, Damon, all of us. We would just have fun, snap on each other, doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and acting things out. And yeah, looking back, that's the only place I ever tried to be funny in front of people, you know?
Mm. Yeah, that's when you did it just for the love of it.
In the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I got scared, I did it, and I just had to find a way to do it professionally, and then, you know, find your own voice as early as possible.
Right.
Again, you know, not trying to fit in and, you know.
Well, imitate yourself.
Yeah.
Being yourself.
Yeah, just being yourself and just saying, like, this is how I want to do comedy.
Which
is to make it, now I'm going to find it. I got to do it this way.
I've seen guys doing Richard Pryor jokes. And I'm thinking, doesn't he know that I heard that? You know, everybody here has heard that before.
Yeah. No, they think that
I've done that. I've seen it.
They're in hopes that no one knows.
Right.
Just the audience. They don't care if another comedian knows.
Like, that's Rodney Dangerfield. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Actually, now with the internet, I saw a guy doing, I forget the comedian's name, but he was doing a bit. Word for word, and it was, you know, there was 20 other comedians in the audience, and, you know, to open mic, we just take that up there, and everyone just was like, went silent, jaw dropped, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you just lifted
word for word.
Yeah.
The
guy who's on HBO last
year. Comedy right there.
Yeah.
That's the cardinal
set. No, you can do that with a song.
Right, it's called a cover song.
Cover track.
Yeah.
You can't do that one.
Yeah, that's the you know, being yourself is the greatest.
Because then, you know, you learn to have people accept you for you. And, exactly. You know, the way you're going to do comedy and what you're going to talk about.
Is Dangerfield still open? Or that closed?
No, it's still open.
It's open.
Is it really? On Second Avenue?
Yeah. Dangerfield's still around.
Did they do business there?
They have a new talent show too now. They have open mic stuff and everything. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, this was like
19 people at the brain.
Well, they're probably trying to compete with
that. You got to bring Rodney Dangerfield.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
I got a little respect.
They never did that. They were very adamant about
they tried to take
professionals only.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess, I don't know, sign of the times. And, you know, you see those receipts at the end of the night. And it's like, man, we got to get some bringers in here. Yeah.
We should go crash it. Let's go crash it.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll all bring 10 people.
10 people, yeah. Now, I heard that you're not very religious.
No.
Spiritual.
No. I'm religious, like probably within myself, basically.
So
like, my wife is Catholic,
right?
And you know, I'll go to church, but I only go to church when it's like an event, like you know, right. when Jalen got christened or whatever.
Okay.
But I feel so out of place because I sit there, I sit next to, and the pastor, preacher, I don't know what they call him for that,
priest,
but priest. Okay. Yeah. See. See.
Yeah. Are you a black Jew? The guy with the thing here.
Sammy David Jr.
I find it the same way where if I go to church and I believe it, then it's fun being there. But when you don't believe it, it's no fun.
You know, I'll tell you two reasons why I don't believe it. But first, let me just tell you, when I go, I get embarrassed because my wife knows all the stuff.
Right.
Like, you know, they talk and they say, hallowed be thy name or whatever, right. and everyone else follows. And I'm just looking at it like, you know, what do I say? And she's like, right. you got to kneel down. I said, I got to kneel down. I'm just kneel down.
Kneel down. You don't know what's happening. Yeah.
You know, and I'm waiting, and I got to wait for him, Jalen, to go up. He's doing the cracker? I'm mad. I was like, yeah, that wasn't even a Ritz, man. What's that shit, man?
You had to wait for him.
You get stuck in your mouth.
Yeah. I was like, come on, man, it's the millennium. Give him a Ritz.
make it a little.
Yeah, so I don't know the thing, so she knows all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, knows when to jump in and say, you know, whatever is the hymns.
Right, yes.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Knows when to control you with guilt.
Yeah.
Is that like a choice or?
It's a choice. And a lot of the choice came from, well, I grew up with, you know, people like Reverend Moon.
Yeah.
There's a black preacher. I actually was talking about him the other day. He had 85 cars. Do you remember him?
Reverend Knight?
Reverend Knight. There I go.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
He ruined it for me right there. He ruined it for me. And I knew a lot of preachers.
Reverend Knight.
And I knew a lot of preachers
right.
that were, you know, ex-cons or whatever, but they were still con artists, but within the church.
It's right.
That,
saddest,
that,
that's
turned me off
thing,
the most.
Okay. Yeah,
that's the reason why I said I'm not listening to nobody. No matter what you say, I'm God's child too, and I'll pray within myself, and right. you know, pray for my wife, my son, everybody.
Right.
Sorry, I can't go to your crib because dude's taking money.
Goldstein is doing it now. I went to see Joel Goldstein, you know, a while back mm-hmm. at the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
And it was like $75 for the ticket. I was with somebody that wanted to see. And so $75 each, whatever it was, 50, 75, 100, whatever it was. Then his wife came up and gave this whole big speech, basically, you know, begging for money.
For more.
And then 50,000 people, 40, whatever's at Yankee Stadium. People were putting like $100 bills in a basket, dude. And you know what I'm saying? And they didn't even say what they were going to do with the money. It wasn't like, yo, we're going to take this money. Dude,
But those are the things that turned off.
I was turned off, too.
Where I said 85 cars.
Yeah, no, it's a joke.
Much.
No.
Jesus went in.
Smart cars either.
You know the scams of them doing things
Word.
To boys and,
Word.
And
yeah, right.
the girls
sure.
in the
congregation. Right. Yeah.
That's what turned me off the most.
And Jesus went in. Jesus was so against that. Jesus went into the church and tore it apart.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the movie.
Chapter 24. Jesus ripped shit.
He was there. He was there. The thing I don't get.
Jesus checking school times.
Jesus checking.
Every other month they come up with a new book that's going to change your life. What happened to the 1 year old?
That's why I don't go. That's why. And I'm not against it. I've never told my wife.
Are you spiritual, Bob?
Yeah, within myself, I'm not. Like,
that's what I'm
crazy.
Saying.
I'm not crazy.
That's
positive
like,
forces.
But within myself, you know what it is? Most of my spirit just comes from my surrounding, and you know, having blessed people around me, and you know, seeing my child grow up and my other kids grow up, and just having a good community around me. Just to be in that circle, there's got to be someone, you know, pushing me that way to be with positive people.
Absolutely.
Because I've been through the negative.
By the way, I've
been through the negative. I've been in trouble as a kid, you know, in jail, all that.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they taught. That's what the Bible's all about, what you just described.
Yeah.
The Bible's about exactly what you just described.
Yeah.
That's what they taught. It's all about just being spiritual and being connected and being good.
Tell that to the Middle East right now, going crazy over there.
Yeah, because they believe other people's words. They don't believe what God was teaching. They believe what other people teach, what man teaches. You know, like, what you just explained is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
God is love. It's that simple.
There's no way I'm going to curse.
You know, and you're here, and again, like I say, you have good people around you. You love what you do. And
that's exactly it.
You know, that doesn't make a difference in whatever religion you are.
Now, you mentioned you went to jail. Would you go to jail?
I got in trouble when I was young. I was 21. I got in trouble for robbing someone and forgetting to run.
That was you?
Yeah. So, obviously, I wasn't good at it.
So you can run. He pulls out Randy McNally now.
Shit. Like, can I get this guy?
Yeah.
Give me the money. Where's the nearest precinct?
No, we'll go together.
Yeah. I'm absolutely horrible at it.
How bad was that experience? I mean... Did you go the whole gamut, or they just told you to stop?
What do you mean by the whole gamut?
Rikers.
I went to jail for 18 months.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, when I was 20. Tombs?
When I was 20. Tombs is not. I went away upstate.
But, I mean, originally, did you...
Yeah, you have to stop there. That's just along the way. Did all that crazy stuff.
And that kind of helped you out?
It helped me a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
It helped me a lot, because I had never hurt my mom like that. You know, with all the stuff she did, and I never hurt her like that. Totally. And I never realized the pain I was dishing out.
Right.
I say it all the time.
Get to see her in court, you know, absolutely. And when I got sentenced, that turned me around.
It wakes you up. Every single person in this, we'll just speak about America, should spend at least 6 months in jail.
Yeah.
That would be true, because a lot of people...
It humbles you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And hopefully you could get that humbling experience.
It was a crazy experience, because there was a time I wanted a regular home-cooked burger meant the world to me.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Absolutely.
I would write my mom. I'd be like, hey.
It slows everything down, man.
Bring me a burger.
Make sure it's kosher.
Yeah.
I'm the only Jew we were in jail.
They get kosher, by the way, in jail.
Yeah, you have to be Jewish.
If you're Jewish, you will get kosher.
Yeah.
Wow.
They demand it. Give us it.
Did that help you with your stand-up? I mean, did that say, I'm going to start getting my act straightened out and get funnier?
No, because I came home when I was 23.
Okay.
So I wasn't even doing stand-up.
Okay.
Right. When I came home, that's when I got the job at the advertising.
Right.
My wife.
What agency did you work for?
McCann Erickson.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. My wife is still there.
Oh, really? Big 25 years. It's one of the big three.
Yeah. BBD&O.
BBD&O, J. Walter Thompson.
J. Walter Thompson.
FCB, Y&R.
Yeah. And McCann's actually gone down. I mean, they used to be
huge.
Outrageous. They're Coca-Cola.
Monsters. They used to be
Coca-Cola. I think they still have L'Oreal. And they had M&M. M&M and Coca-Cola. They had both of them. Those are huge accounts.
Yeah.
Huge
Mars. Yeah.
Mars.
Huge. McCann Erickson, did they have the elevator that you could, it was like a glass elevator?
No, they were never that fancy. McCann was just regular
glass elevator. Hey, we're back in Seattle.
Yeah. I think we had to take the stairs, they were so cheap.
But, to wrap it up, your two favorite things are comedy and basketball.
Yeah, comedy, basketball, and I coach now.
I've coached
my son since he was five. I coach basketball, soccer.
Say yes, son.
Yes.
And baseball. And
he's done playing Angry Birds over
here. Yeah. He's quite the swan. He's got it. Okay. Everybody in my family can play. Everybody.
Love
can
it.
Play basketball, baseball. Everybody has that in them.
Right.
And he can play. He made Little League the first tryout. Just everything. I mean, like I said, I've coached him since he was five. He's actually... In his age group in Belleville, he's one of the 3, 4, 5 top scorers.
Yeah.
That's so that's been good. It's been more good than bad, but it just made me think about my childhood. And I would tell Jalen that I wish my dad would. My dad didn't know I could play basketball until I was 23. Yeah, and I had trophies in the house and everything. I was in tournaments. He just happened to look out the window, and it was like a court across the street.
Right.
And he just happened to look out the window, and he was like, wow, you play pretty good.
Wow.
I was like, dad, I've been playing since I was 13, dude. Yeah, he could hear that. That's what was crazy, too. No excuse whatsoever. But I never held it against him. It just popped in my head as I was coaching him.
Right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
You know, and I tried to teach Jalen the value of doing whatever sports and looking out in the audience, and, you know, you got support.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, my dad did not know I could play at all. Yeah. So even if I wasn't coaching, I would be there. But to coach him, teach him, you know, me and him, we go out whenever it's not raining, probably every other day. And my arm's killing me, but I throw about 100 pitches to him.
Wow.
Every other day we go out.
Tremendous value to life. And kids today, it's the, they don't, the
we're like
they,
kids today?
The kids.
No, kids had no pressure.
They play we're all wearing Angry Birds,
they're
Jay.
Different than when,
get in here, time
when we
have a catch today.
When we were kids, we played Manhunt, Kick the Can.
Kick the Can.
You know, Rickolino.
Stickball.
Remember that? Yeah. Stickball. Everything, right?
Yeah.
And kids today, they stay inside and they play video games.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact,
not
Jay, study.
Jay
in 100 years,
right.
Everybody's going to have slanted eyes.
Staring at everything.
No, because they don't go out and they don't get the sun, and their eyes are gonna underdevelop, and everybody's gonna have like slits. Yeah.
And that's what I was mentioning too. Some of the stuff that slits. You know, I know would help teach. No one taught me.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I could only think of one guy that helped me with basketball, and it was just to create a crossover. But other than that,
right.
I never had anyone that just taught me.
Right.
So I was just trying to explain to them to see me be able to play and play. I played the two sports good. Three. But I didn't play a lot. I played football, basketball, and baseball.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, no offense, what's about it. I'm good at what
fair.
I do.
Yeah.
But to teach him and the other kids and then let him know that no one really taught me how good they have it now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
how good they have it.
Sometimes they won't go by word of mouth because they're like, okay,
no, they
you had it good.
They listen to the other guy.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll tell him, I'll show him, and he'll respect it to a certain degree. But if another guy says the same thing you just said,
that's what I just learned.
Hey, Dad.
Natural rebellion.
Yeah. It's like,
but
yeah.
Are you hypercritical of... Sure. You know, I would go to the game, right? I come out, my dad's like, you still have your head down when you're going up and down the court. Like, you know, 18 points. And he's
I'm a tad bit hard on him, but not crazy, you know, because he has good results at the end of every game, whether it's, you know, whether it's an extra pass that was good or, you know, scored the final shot or the final, you know, goal in soccer. He has good results. You know, I mean, I get on all of them, but of course you're going to get on your son just a little bit more. And just, you know, you want the best for him.
Right.
You want the best for him, just a little bit more on him. And he's used to it. I mean, you know, and as he gets older, you know, he gets just, you know, getting closer to saying, shut the fuck up, Dad.
But you know what? It won't get to that point because if you respect yourself, you'll respect your father.
Yeah, and he does. And he'll understand what I'm doing. And whether you choose to continue...
That's
further in sports.
Right.
That's up to you. But right now, you're having fun. You know, you're 12, and, you know, the good thing is he's made so many friends in the neighborhood because of it.
Yeah.
And I was always well-known in my neighborhood also. So even where I'm at now, somehow it's happened again through coaching and everything. I mean, I know probably 80% of the kids. I can't even walk to school
that's
with
great.
Him without them.
Yeah.
Hey, coach, hey, coach, hey, coach, hey. And they all know Jalen.
Yeah.
And it's just good.
Are you the cool dad because you're the comedian, not the cop or the bus driver?
Yeah, I'm the cool dad because I'm the comedian and I'm the coach. And I'm.
Are you down here or are you...
No, I'm in Belleville now.
In Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
New Jersey.
Okay.
How far is that? Is that
no, I'm right by Giant Stadium.
That's Passaic.
Oh, wow.
Essex County.
I like Jersey.
It's good. It's where I'm at because
nice
I'm right
town.
There. I'm literally with no traffic, 14 minutes.
It's West
right
New York.
Right
it's West New York.
Yeah.
You know, it
yeah.
really
yeah.
is.
Yeah,
it's
and I can get to my mom and them if they need me because they're still in the old projects.
Yeah, my
that's
father worked out.
I went to St. Joe's, so we played you guys.
St. Joe's, yeah. It's a well-known basketball team.
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah, St. Joe's, St. Andrews.
Yeah, we're more football. Like baseball. Our baseball team was amazing. But
it was
a good sports factory.
I enjoyed doing it.
Absolutely.
It's definitely
I see
like
you.
It's
talking about it.
It's definitely my pastime when I'm not working and everything.
You have the train to come in from there too, right? Or no, the path.
You can
from where?
You have to take the path. You can take the path.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The path or you can go over by take the waterway too.
Yeah, the waterway works.
Oh, no,
yeah, you park the car in.
How is that waterway? Is it cool?
I haven't done it because being not 14 minutes away, I just drive in.
Right.
Yeah.
But if I knew parking was the way it was today, I'd have took the waterway. I literally jacked that. I didn't jack the space because it was a legal space.
Yeah.
But these guys that fixed the freaking tires, you know, they want to take up most of the speed.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily my, you know, Mark DeMeo, I always get his detective card, you know, with good friends, so he gives it to me.
Yeah.
And I put it on the thing, and I just told the guy, like, you know, don't touch my car. That's when, like,
yeah.
You know, I was like a teenager when he came out.
Who is this?
Yeah.
In case
you
come back with your car.
Bad, but it was like, I went around like 7 times, and I saw this space.
Yeah.
And he still had room to work on a car.
Bloomberg destroyed the city, man. Bloomberg
The park is all the way out on the avenue and all that. And
with all the
bikes rolling, you know?
Yeah.
I felt a little bad to even act like that because I try not to fall back like that. But the guy was just being ignorant about it.
Right.
And he was like, dude, I'm not trying to tell me the arrow is pointing the other way where it says no parking at all. Come on, man.
Yeah, I had a fight for my parking. This guy was like 2 cars ahead of the guy coming out. I'm right behind the guy coming out. And he's actually going to try and beat me to get into there. And I had my signal. I was already ready. So the guy comes out. And thank God when he pulls out, it's always a blocking to reverse. And I get in. And now he's not getting in. He's getting out of his car. I'm like, are you nuts? I was just, and I go on. And then he just left.
It's crazy, man. It just got to a point where it's like, I'm not driving around anymore. The space is here. These guys are taking up too much room. Yeah. You know, I got their cones there. You know, I'm not trying to make a living.
Cone thing kills, man.
Because they're taking up space. And, you know, and he's trying to tell me, no, look.
No, it's the arrow thing.
Clearly went that way. Yeah. You know? I was like, look, whatever. I popped the thing down, showed him the badge, man. You show me the badge? Yeah.
There you go.
And just walked off, you know. And my son was like, daddy. I was like, man, come on, man.
It's all good.
Yeah.
You had that. Bring it off the hook.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Mark. You know, and I have a friend in DLT, so, you know, it's all good.
You can all love it. All right, so now to start wrapping this up, I wanted to ask, what would be the best advice you would give a up-and-coming comedian?
No, you know, I'm not going to discourage anybody from doing but learn to love it if you're going to do it, and don't sell yourself short, and just try to keep going to different levels, because again, you know, if you stay at one level, that's where you're going to be, and not everyone's going to make it. You really, if I would have had that in the back of my mind from the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, I would have, because we all get down on ourselves.
Yes.
We do it X amount of years. If I would have realized, even when I started, when it was not a billion comedians like there is now, just to realize not everyone's going to make it. It right. just doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
it just, there's too many all over the world or whatever, and then the hole is this big for one of us to get through.
Right.
But if you find a way to do business and you know, be able to support yourself somehow, and get something out of it so you don't look back 15, 20 years and go, oh, boy.
Where do you see comedy going from here? More difficult, less like people laughing at dumb, stupid shit.
No, the thing that bothers me is just how I'm hoping the whole new comedian bringer show thing doesn't blow up to the point where there's no pro shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's the scariest part of it to me. I understand owners got to do what they got to do. I mean, you know, you try to look at both sides of it, but as an artist, you know, it dampens all worth too. Like a gig I used to get $600 for. I probably get four for it now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because then some of the owners are like, well, you know, comedians a dime a dozen now. Because there's a billionaire. Right?
Yeah.
So a gig I would normally get 600, I might get four.
It's like adding a remedial math class at Columbia Engineering School. Either you can do math or you can't. If you can't, you shouldn't be an engineer.
Exactly.
I don't know if you can
exactly
be doing
exactly.
this.
Yeah,
you know,
do it, but don't take space up.
What's the French equation? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
You're not the statics at this point.
Come on.
Over a bridge built by some guy who like really doesn't understand math.
Yeah, I forgot to put in that last screw.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't need that.
More of a big idea thinker. Sure you are. But it just collapsed.
Yeah. But you know, do it is one thing, but just don't just take up space. It's just, you know, that's the scariest part of it to me. It's just, you know, like thinking loves a lot of the, you know, A clubs or whatever, and how they have one pro show, they're down to like one pro show versus all these
new talents,
bringer and this, that, and. It's just scary, you know.
All right.
They stay on the road more because of that, I guess.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, that now the road is going to be more profitable. I don't know.
Well, it's probably going to a small degree, but again, it goes back to the same thing. You know, if it's a gig you used to get 600 for, now, you know, you're getting less because of it being festive, so to speak, you know. Go all the way if you're going to write hard, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Don't be afraid to say what you want to say and just stand behind it. Stand behind it is the most important.
Be yourself.
You say something and it sounds like you're asking them if it's funny.
It ain't gonna be funny. You think I'm funny, Seymour?
Final chapter, Be Yourself. Tom McGuire, foreword by Seymour Swanson. No, it's not Be Yourself. It's Be Yourself.
Be yourself. Well, let me wrap this up by saying thank you very much for you guys coming down here, contributing your talents and your experience, your time to HBOcast episode 3. Once again, I want to thank Seymour Swan for coming down here. Thank you again, Kevin McGee, for coming down here and interrupting everybody every now and then. Felix Cabrera, who is very stoic, but he came in with the words of, I gotta listen to this. And Eddie McGuire for his very straight comment, which I love. That's why I don't care, don't be changing. And my audience, please, and
Felix Cabrera.
once again, I will be on hpproductions.net. You can download it there. If there's anything you want to plug, please, Seymour Swan.
Well, right now, so as far as New Yorkers, if you're in New York, you know people in New York coming in, please come see my show. We haven't been around 25 years for nothing. But thank you guys once again, and please support stand-up comedy.
Yeah, support the arts. Thank you very much.
7unknown.com.
Eddie McGuire, 7unknown.com. Felix Rivera.
Yeah, I'm going to be there in front of all the original family.
There you go. Exactly. This will be posted on my website.
Thank you.
You got three fans going.
Kevin McGee.
Did I even say www.net?
No,
you don't have to. KevinMcGee.net. My website's found under construction. I put it up back. It's a picture of me. This is up from Ontario, Canada. I'm not from Ontario, Canada. I don't know. I can't work that.
I
thought that was a joke.
But once again,
yeah, it is a joke.
It is a joke. It's part of his hilarity. Once again, I will be on hpproductions.net. Thank you very much for listening, and love you all.